This is The Guardian.
Today, the Tories are braced for disaster. So why are Labour so nervous about these local elections?
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
It's Helen Pidd here. I'm a journalist from The Guardian. I'm doing a story about the Hyndburn local elections.
But unfortunately, it's not good time for me to talk.
Oh, right, OK. I'm just... Hyndburn is a collection of former mill towns in East Lancashire. It's on a knife edge, politically, and is exactly the sort of place that Labour should be winning back. And I've been struggling to get anybody in the Labour Party.
Helen, while the pass your details on,
Labour and the Conservatives currently have exactly the same number of councillors. But the Tories run the local authority, with a little help from a couple of Greens. I'm just going to ring another one of the councillors. If you believe the national polls, Labour ought to be flying high in places like Hyndburn. But when I went to visit Accrington last week, the borough's main town, no one from Labour would talk to me at all. But eventually, I decided I was just going to have to go in and see them at their campaign headquarters in the town centre. Right, so I've been told that the Labour Party has set up a sort of campaign headquarters inside Accrington's old arcade. So I shall see if anybody's there and if they're willing to talk to me. Oh, here we go, Hyndburn Labour. Inside was Kimberly Whitehouse, one of the local councillors and the wife of Graham Jones, Hyndburn's former Labour MP, who lost his seat in the Red Wall wipeout of 2019.
I've just been really struggling to get anybody from Labour to talk. Do you know who's around?
She was friendly, but she made it clear that she was under orders not to talk to me.
We've been told not to say anything, you see. So,
really? Who by?
By our regional comms officer.
Right. But who is that? She said I should just call the press office and see if they'd let her talk. So I did.
Oh, right, OK. I don't think we want to do it, Helen.
Why not?
I think they're just busy on the ground and focusing on the doors.
Yeah, it wasn't the impression that I got necessarily, that they didn't want to speak, is that they weren't allowed to. But
so why didn't Labour want to talk to me?
Yeah, well, I think it's obvious why it is. They think that you're going to ask them about their position on Gaza and why they're so unpopular in the Muslim community. They don't want that sort of exposure.
From The Guardian, I'm Helen Pidd. Today in Focus... Will the local election results tell us who will run the next government? Jess Elgott, welcome back. You are The Guardian's deputy political editor and you've been on maternity leave for the past year. We're really excited that you're back with us. Talk us through the elections tomorrow. What a way to return.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, local elections in a general election year usually are pretty exciting because it gives us a good indication about the places we should be spotlighting and looking at ahead of a general election. So there's 107 councils coming up in England. We've got the London mayoral election and assembly. There are 9 combined authority mayors, including 2 big fights for the Tories in the West Midlands and Teesside. There are 37 police commissioners in England and Wales coming up. And there's also the by-election in Blackpool South, which is the resignation of yet another disgraced Tory MP, where we expect Labour to give the Tories a bit of a thumping.
Mm-hmm. And not everybody is going to the polls, are they, in England? It's only selected councils. How many seats are Labour and Tory defending?
It's about 1,000 each for Labour and the Tories, and there is a strong belief that it's going to be a very, very, very bad night for the Tories. That's not just to do with their current position in the polls, where they're sort of lagging about 20 points behind Keir Starmer's Labour Party. It's also because of the stage in the cycle we were at when these seats were last up for grabs. It was right in the middle of Boris Johnson's vaccine bounce. It was 2021.
Good morning. It doesn't look to have been a super Thursday at the polls for Sir Keir Starmer. The Conservatives are set to deliver another blow to the red wall of Labour Northern Heartlands.
And Labour were really struggling at that point. It was the time, if you remember, that they lost that by-election in Hartlepool, which almost ended Keir Starmer's leadership of the Labour Party.
Bitterly disappointed in the results. And, you know, I take full responsibility for the results. And I will take full responsibility for fixing things.
It's hard to believe what's changed since that point.
Yeah, I remember thinking we're going to have eternal Tory rule at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's extraordinary to see where we've come now.
So in 3 years, how things change. And people often get confused about this. What do councils and mayors actually do? What are they responsible for?
Councils are responsible for things like bins, potholes and planning applications, as well as adult social care, children's services. It's not very glamorous, but it's all pretty vital stuff. And often turnout for local elections is not as high as a general election, but it is, you know, setting the direction of your local area. And that is something that's pretty important.
Mm-hmm. And we're going into a local election week after a difficult weekend for Rishi Sunak.
Breaking news this evening that a Conservative MP has defected to the Labour Party, only the third defection.
A lot of people were blindsided on Saturday night when The Observer broke the exclusive that Dan Poulter, a kind of lesser-known Tory MP, who's a doctor, isn't he, in his part-time job, was defecting to Labour. Do you think this is a bad omen for Rishi Sunak on Thursday?
I mean, it certainly is. So Dan Poulter, who's the MP for Central Suffolk and North Ipswich, and he's been a very loyal Tory MP, sort of working quietly in the background, but he is a former health minister. And he says that his 20 night shifts he's done in A&E over the past year have been life-changing for him, and he feels the party isn't committed to improving the NHS, and he's defecting to Labour on that basis. He says it's the only party that is committed to it. I can't imagine it'll be the thing that changes anyone's vote in the local elections. But on the other hand, I think the feeling that MPs, and especially ones that care about the NHS, are abandoning Rishi Sunak's Conservative Party can never be good for the image of the party.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that the Conservatives are on for a fairly heavy loss on Thursday. Like, how bad could it be for them in terms of the number of seats they might lose and which mayoralties might slip out of their grasp?
They certainly could lose around half of their councillors, it sounds like, and most of their councils. But the most symbolic thing, I think, for the Tories to lose would be to lose the two mayoralties, West Midlands and Teesside. So Andy Street in West Midlands, Ben Houchen in Teesside, have both been two sort of very high-profile Tories in their area, support bases potentially outside their party. Mm-hmm. And both of them have run quite independent campaigns. And also, I mean, particularly Ben Houchen has been someone who's been, you know, a big supporter of Rishi Sunak.
Yeah, Ben Houchen, he won a stonking majority last time. It was something mad, the sort of thing you'd only normally see in like Putin's Russia. It was 73%, I think, something like that.
Yes, he won an enormous majority. And what most people are saying in the Tory party privately is that they're hopeful of being able to keep the Teesside mayoralty, or what's officially called the Tees Valley mayoralty. And we'll see about that. But they do think that they'll lose in the West Midlands.
Right. OK. But it'd be dreadful for the Tories if they lost Ben Houchen and Andy Street.
In the same night, that would be, you know, a really, really bad result. And that's the sort of thing symbolically which could encourage, you know, Tory rebels to move against Rishi Sunak.
Mm-hmm. And how is it looking for Labour? Is it going to be a landslide? Obviously, they're more than 20 points ahead in the polls. Can we expect that to be mirrored in the local elections?
I think Labour are expecting for a pretty good night. They're not doing huge amounts of expectations management, which indicates that they're pretty optimistic of taking hundreds of councillors. There's some bellwether constituencies that you'd be looking at. Hartlepool, Harlow's another one, Redditch, Bolton, those are all places where if Labour has a really good night here, you'd expect them to take those constituents in the general election. And mayors, Andy Burnham's looking pretty safe in Greater Manchester, Tracy Braeburn in West Yorkshire, and Sadiq Khan, obviously, in London. The one place that they are doing a little bit of expectations management is in London. Khan is way ahead in the polls. He's about 13 points ahead. And so, I mean, this really would be, you know, an extraordinary night if Sadiq Khan didn't manage to win a third term. But people around Sadiq Khan are saying they are slightly worried about two things. Firstly, a kind of stay-at-home vote, that there isn't an enormous amount of enthusiasm for a third Sadiq Khan term. And that there has been a change in the voting system here. So it used to be where you could list in order of priority, and now it's first past the post. So I think plenty of people used to be able sort of vote green first and then put Sadiq Khan second, and he would then, you know, pick up votes on that basis. Now if they do that, then those votes will go against Sadiq Khan.
Hello. Hi. Sorry, I'm a bit early.
Nice.
Hiya.
To meet you.
Nice. Come to meet you too.
Would you like a drink?
I've already ordered a cup of tea, actually. Yeah, are you going to have one?
Yes, I'll have one. Yeah. What do you want?
Just milk, thanks. Just tea,
just a
thanks.
Glass of milk?
No, tea with milk.
Tea with milk.
Thank you. I'm having a brew with the Conservative leader of Hindburn Council. Yes. She's 80 years old and is only just back at work after suffering a stroke just before Christmas.
I'm the leader of Hindburn Borough Council. I've been a councillor for some 16, 17 years.
What are your realistic goals in terms of outcome in the local elections this year?
Well, the first goal is to win. That's number one goal. Mm. We never just want to defend. Mm. We're always out to win. And I hope that we do, because I would like us to be able to continue the brilliant stuff that we're in the process of doing now. We are in the process of building some new affordable housing, keeping the council tax low. But of course, like any other authority, we are struggling for money. We don't get as much as we'd like anyway. You know, we'd like millions. I try not to think about national issues in a local election, but we can change here.
Yeah. I guess, but if you do look at the national polls, Labour have got such a stonking lead at the moment that one might expect that would play out at a local level and that you'd be facing a wipeout. How does it feel?
I never listen to polls for a start. I never take any notice of them. We've booked the trend so far, and there's no reason why we can't continue. Again, I think that in local elections, it's a different kind of atmosphere. It's a different kind of attitude that people have when they're voting in local elections. They vote on local issues, and as silly as it is, people vote for the person that knocks on their door and how they get on with that person.
And with the various scandals that the Tory party have been dealing with, Mark Menzies, the MP for Fylde, not far from here, you'll have seen he got locked in a room with some bad men. Has that filtered through to your average voter?
Listen, of all the phone calls I've made, nobody has even mentioned it. Right. I don't think half of the people in the borough know who he is.
Right.
They're more bothered about the potholes. They're more bothered about whether the town centre will be successful, which it will be. They're more bothered about things that are happening within their own town and their own townships.
What are people saying locally about the Labour Party? Do you think that Gaza is going to be an ongoing issue for Labour in these local elections?
In the local elections, I think probably amongst the Asian community it might be, yes. I really wouldn't like to comment on that.
Jess, I thought it was really interesting that the Tory leader in Hindburn seemed like pretty confident, and yet the Labour Party wouldn't speak to me at all. What do you think they're scared of? Is it that the Labour Party is paranoid about councillors saying the wrong thing, or is it just a more general crackdown on dissent? Or do you think it's just that they're terrified that the polls are wrong and they're not actually on course for a landslide victory?
I think that Keir Starmer's Labour Party feel, even with this enormous poll lead, that they're essentially carrying him in bars across an ice rink. I was speaking to someone in Labour HQ last week. You know, he said, we're either going to be known as the people who turned around one of the biggest defeats in Labour's history in just 5 years, or we're going to be known as the people who blew a 20-point lead. I feel like I know which way it will go, but they genuinely feel like they could end up in the latter category. Of course, that makes them incredibly careful. Therefore, they want to sort of close rank around people as much as possible. And who do they see in quite a dismissive way as the people who are most likely to be loose cannons? Local councillors.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's why they didn't want to speak to me in Accrington. But there is also the fact that Labour's general election candidate, Graham Jones, is currently suspended because of remarks he made about Israel. And like, probably understandably, I suppose, the local party are all walking on eggshells as a result. And in somewhere like Heimburn, which has got a pretty high Muslim population, Keir Starmer's approach to the war on Gaza continues to be a real headache for Labour. And obviously, Gaza is thousands of miles away. Do you think it's still going to have an impact on these very local elections?
I think it will be very interesting to see how Labour fare in the councils where there has been a large number of councillors who've defected over Gaza and over Keir Starmer's at least initial refusal to back a ceasefire. That is Labour's position now. So Oxford is one of them, Burnley, Norwich, where you know, people have left the party over it. And I think, you know, quite a number of those who've gone independent are standing again. And if those independent candidates hold their seats, then I think in some places that might be enough to tip them over into an overall control. So it is possible for Labour to lose councils on this basis.
And, you know, we've talked mostly about Conservatives and Labour. Where do the other parties feature in these local election races?
So the Lib Dems, if Labour are having a good time, the Lib Dems are generally having a all right time as well, as the kind of anti-Tory vote picks up. So probably the Lib Dems will pick up some councils, maybe Brentwood Council, maybe Gloucester Council. Greens probably should pick up some more seats as well, especially in southern areas. I don't think they're likely to control any more councils, but an interesting place to watch them will be Bristol, because in Bristol, that's where they hope they've got a shot of taking a Westminster seat, if they have a really good night there.
Yeah, I mean, the Greens are also positioning themselves as a pro-Palestine, pro-Gaza party. In Accrington, in Heimburn, it felt like they were going to be the beneficiary of Labour's stance. And what about Reform? Reform UK, where should we watch out for them?
I think it's difficult with Reform because they're not standing in an awful lot of councils.
Seats,
yeah, so I think it's going to be quite difficult to judge Reform. I think it will tell us relatively little.
Oh, don't they quite fancy their chances in Blackpool, though? So the Blackpool South by-election.
Reform are looking for a very strong showing in the Blackpool South by-election. Mark Butcher, the candidate there.
Mark says Reform are capable of shaking the political landscape.
It's all been out of frustration. Everything that I've done, really, has been out of frustration out of the lack of what's here. And I just feel as though that we've been left out down in Blackpool South.
And, you know, Reform are in third place nationally. I think they'll be hoping to push the Tories into third place in Blackpool.
And what about George Galloway's Workers' Party of Great Britain? Could they ruffle a few feathers in any contests?
Yeah, I mean, one place is the West Midlands, where Galloway's protege, who's a lawyer called Ahmed Yacoub, is campaigning very heavily on Gaza. Again, potential to take some votes away from Labour.
Should we just sit outside here?
Yeah. Let's
maybe, is there anywhere more picturesque than by that big bin?
Yeah. Well, we're not taking pictures. There's some seating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we can sit. Well, that's typical. People.
I wanted to meet somebody in Accrington from the Green Party, who are the strongest challengers to the two main parties in Heimburn. Mohammed Shabir Fazel agreed to meet me in the town centre, and we sat outside Greg's as he told me how he'd got into politics only very recently.
Yeah. So I'm a retired head teacher. I've spent all my life like as a community leader, but I was never interested in politics.
So did you join the Green Party recently, or have you been?
Yeah. So I joined back in November. So it really was Gaza, and the reason I joined is that I was saying to people, you know, don't vote Labour, don't vote Tory, because these guys have got blood on their hands. And they're saying, that's fine, uncle. Everybody calls me uncle, yeah, I'm that age. OK, so you're telling us not to vote Labour, not to vote Tory, so who do we vote for? And it was like, OK, I need to think about that. And that's when I decided to join. And then when I joined the Green Party, I decided to stand as a candidate as well.
If it wasn't for Gaza, would you be Labour?
Well, it's all gone to the right, so the Labour Party is now where Ted Heath was, so it's not really a Labour Party at all, it's like a centre-right party. So there's a big gap on the left, and that's where the Green Party is now.
And obviously it's a local election, so if you were elected, you can't do anything about the situation in Gaza. You'll be fielding calls about potholes and bin collections. So why is Gaza, why are we even talking about Gaza locally?
Yeah, I think, look, there's times that you in your life where you live through something which it doesn't matter whether you're local, national, international, you can't not talk about. And I just don't think it's an option for decent people to say it's not to do with us. Mm-hmm. Because it is to do with us, because our country is providing funding, it's providing weapons, people can't escape it. It's a topic of a conversation in the mosque, it's a topic of conversation on the street, it's a topic of conversation in every household.
And that's filtered through to your average voter, has
it? Yeah, all the people on the streets, the Muslim, especially the Muslims, are, you know, it's one of the questions they always ask. You know, I was looking at something the other day and I was saying to people that a lot of the policies that they advocate are policies that Muslims can actually sign up to, because it's all about social justice, mm-hmm. you know, and we live in that sort of society where the equality gap has just gone massive, mm-hmm. you know, and you've got some government minister who was talking about, you know, times really hard, I'm not sure people could live on £100,000 a year, and I think...
That's Jeremy Hunt.
Yeah, you're talking about being out of touch, that's like, you know, you're on another planet, you know, he didn't understand that people in Accrington don't even dream about earning £100,000 a year, you know. The average salary around here is 20k.
He seemed pretty confident that he was going to hoover up the Labour vote, so I went for a wander to see if he was maybe getting a little bit ahead of himself. And I popped into an indoor market that was selling food, textiles and colourful clothes. Ladies, hello, hi. I'm doing a story about the local elections that are coming up.
I'm voting.
You are voting?
Yeah, but
come
I'm
here.
I don't want to get recorded.
Do you mind? Who are you going to vote for?
I'm voting for the Green Party.
Right, why the Green Party?
Because Labour and the rest of them didn't cease fire when we asked for it.
They've been the people's voice.
Right.
So they've actually voiced it. It goes to show you they would listen to you.
We just thought it's humanity. It doesn't matter what colour you are.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we're all humans. And it could be going on anywhere around the world, not just particularly a Muslim country. It doesn't have to be Muslim. It could just humans.
Yeah.
It's like,
really?
You know, it's like loving your kids in your home, but not taking a light to other children outside. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
None of it makes sense.
It is.
And previously, which party have you voted for?
It's always been either Labour or the other. I've never really heard of the Green Party up until I've actually seen what they've done. And, but it's changed my mind with this, because they were the only one that actually outshined the others.
Mm.
So it's definitely changed. I think in Labour, it's been disappointing this time round. We've spoken, but nothing's been heard.
I think the rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer.
You can
and unfortunately,
see this happening
we now. Can feel the effect of it. And, you know, we're so grateful for, you know, for a good job. Both husband and wife have got a good job and we can hold it together. But I just worry for the others around us.
I bet you thought you'd come in the wrong time.
No, I've come in the perfect time. Women with opinions, I love it. Coming up, how bad could these elections be for the Tories?
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforminghighereducation. This message was paid for by EY.
Fourth or fifth question you've asked, where you've talked about
polls and politics. And you know what? I'm not distracted.
I've asked you about policy.
Jess, on Sunday, Rishi Sunak said that he doesn't care about the polls. Yeah, right. But if there is a Tory wipeout, in spite of Labour's potential woes in places like Accrington, what do you think it means for Sunak?
I think that if it's a very, very bad night for Rishi Sunak, then he is going to have to say something quite extraordinary to get his party back on side. It very much feels in Westminster like a lot of MPs have already checked out. You could see more people deciding to stand down. That makes things more difficult. There's issues raising money. There's issues campaigning. Local activists are just demotivated by that. They think that they're just going to get a thumping. And the worst case scenario for him is that he faces an internal challenge, which would be extraordinary. If that happens, then you might see Rishi Sunak decide to call a summer election. There was a lot of fevered speculation over the course of the weekend that he was going to preempt that and do it this week. Yeah. Number 10 are pretty categorical that that's not going to happen. And I think there is maybe some feeling within some members of the cabinet that that might be a useful thing to do, to go earlier. But I think that Rishi Sunak can probably get away with leaving it till the autumn. What nobody knows is whether the timing is going to make things better or worse for the Tories. I mean, the polls would suggest that they're finished. A recent poll showed that GB News viewers are backing Labour over the Tories, and Telegraph readers are backing Labour over the Tories. So, you know, I think it's pretty clear to me now that the ship has sailed and it's over.
And what about Labour? Like, is there any worst-case scenario for them on Thursday that would see any challenge to Keir Starmer or make Labour change course in any way?
I think that they will get some MPs who are nervous if, for example, they don't pick up either of the mayoralties in Teesside or the West Midlands. Maybe if Blackpool South isn't the huge landslide that everyone's expecting it to be. Yeah. I mean, there are high expectations for Labour around by-elections nowadays. I mean, I think if they didn't take some of those bellwether councils, you know, into full Labour control, then MPs who are standing in the areas near those seats or candidates in those seats for the general election might start to get a bit jumpy.
Yeah. And for those people who actually like to stay up late and wait for results to come in, when will we actually have them all?
Well, it's not like a general election campaign at all in that, you know, you can sort of have a really good idea by the morning about what's happening. Mm-hmm. A lot of the sort of bigger results for the most important councils and for the mayoralties are going to be reported over the course of Friday and Saturday as well. So,
right, OK. So it might be Saturday night.
It might be Saturday night before we get a clearer view. And the health warning on that is that's not going to stop a lot of commentators and a lot of spin trying to make a narrative out of the results from sort of Friday morning onwards with the few results that we'll have by then.
Yeah.
And you do have to be, you know, in this job and anyone, you know, who takes a good interest in this, pretty cautious about making those snap judgments.
So it's not going to be until Saturday night when we'll have the full national picture. But when the dust has settled, like on Sunday, how consequential do you think these local elections are going to be? Like, can we extrapolate from them to get a sense of what the general election outcome is going to be, do you think?
There's always a big difference between local elections and general elections. And the main reason is turnout and the fact that not everybody is voting across the country. So that's always why it comes with a health warning between interpreting too much. It doesn't tell us anything about a very important part of the next general election, which is going to be Scotland, because that's not having elections. But, you know, I think we'll be able to do a reasonably good read across, and there'll be, you know, data nerds in both HQs poring over spreadsheets trying to work out what in each of the individual wards means for their constituencies that they're trying to win. So, of course, we can tell a lot. But in the most immediate thing is the next week is going to be the decider for Rishi Sunak's future. Is he going to be the leader that takes us into the next election?
Let's see what happens. Jess, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That's all for today. You can follow the results of the local elections on The Guardian's live blog from early Friday morning. Today's episode was produced by Tom Glasser and Natalie Katena. It was presented by me, Helen Pidd, and the executive producer was Homa Khalili. Sound design was by Rudy Zagadlo. We'll be back tomorrow.
This is The Guardian.
Witness history at Roland Garros, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off to see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if a fresh face rises to challenge them. Daily live coverage of the French Open begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
How can a people-first approach to higher education transformation improve success? An EY report suggests that taking emotional and psychological factors into account is just as important as the technology. Six factors drive this human-centered approach: leadership, inspiration, care, empowerment, investment, and collaboration. Get these right, and they can more than double an organization's chance of transformation success. Learn more about people-first transformation at theguardian.com/transforming higher education. This message was paid for by EY.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.